The taxi drew up at a wonderful shop, the sort of shop I would never dare to walk through without a reason. We went in by way of the glove and stocking department. But there were things from other departments just dotted about, bottles of scent and a little glass tree with cherries on it, and a piece of white-branched coral on a sea-green chiffon scarf. Oh, it was an artful place. It must make people who have money want to spend it madly. The pale grey carpets were as springy as moss, and the air was scented. It smelt a bit like bluebells, but richer, deeper. "What does it smell of exactly?" I said. And Rose said, "Heaven." There was a different scent in the fur department, heavier, and the furs themselves had an exciting smell. A woman with blue-white hair came and asked if she could help us, and took away our storage bill. And after a while, two men in white coats came in with Aunt Millicent's furs and dumped them on the sofa. We shook them out and examined them. There were two very long coats, one of them black and shaggy, and the other smoothish and brown. A short, black, tight-fitting jacket with leg-of-mutton sleeves, and a large, hairy rug with a green felt border. "But whatever animals were they?" I gasped. The white-haired woman inspected them gingerly. She said the brown coat was beaver, and the short jacket, which had a rusty look under its black, was sealskin. She couldn't identify the rug at all. It looked like collie dog to me. Rose tried the long, shaggy black coat on. It reached to the ground. "You look like a bear," I said.
"It is bear," said the white-haired woman. "Dear me, I think it must have been a coachman's coat."
A sort of manager person came and talked to us. We asked him if there was anything valuable.
"You couldn't get the beaver today for love or money," he said. "But I don't know if you can sell it for much. We treat fur so differently now. Weighs a ton."
The shop didn't buy second-hand furs, and he couldn't advise us where to take them, so we said we would take them over our arms. It seemed the only way. We signed things and then loaded up. Rose wanted to take the furs straight back to the city by taxi, but there wasn't one to be seen, and I was so ravenous that I persuaded her we ought to have something to eat first. We tottered to Oxford Street, those furs suddenly did weigh tons, and found a place with nice white tablecloths. By the time we finished, it was getting on for 4 o'clock. "We've hardly seen anything of London," I said as we drove back to the lawyer. Our friend the clerk laughed his head off at the furs. He gave us cups of tea and 2 squashed fly biscuits each, which we kept for the journey. We had a compartment to ourselves on the train, and, as it turned cold after sunset, I put on the beaver coat, fur side inwards. I leaned back and closed my eyes.